So everybody made it here safe today, I see, eh? Yeah. We have a Christmas tradition at our house, too. We put up a tree. Didn't anybody else do that outside of the fad tree? But even a sumac, yeah, put on the sumac. Yeah, Christmas traditions and stuff like that. My wife has traditions, too. She loves to bake. Her nickname is the Queen of Treats. She makes candy cane. It's a pastry with cinnamon sugar and stuff like this. She makes a bunch of these. She bakes. I just stay away from her during the day. She's in the kitchen doing all that because she is a serious baker. So I just like, okay, you take care of that, and I'll just stay out of your way, and I'll just eat it when it's done, fulfilling my obligation and duty. So it's good to see you all here. And this is really interesting. You know, we're a small in number thing tonight, but that's okay. That makes it more cozy and more intimate, I sort of feel. And what we're going to be talking about tonight is gifts. I mean, this is the season for gifts, right? I have gifts. I have a gift here on the table. There's gifts here in the bag. And by the way, at the end tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity. Everybody's going to come up and I'm going to give you an opportunity to take one of these. There's something in here that I will use for tomorrow night's session. But it is something that is of value, and I want you to have one of those tonight. If you don't have to, I'm not going to, you know, hold you at gunpoint, but if you want to get a little Christmas gift, you can do that. Tonight, we're going to talk about the gift, and what kind of gift? The gift of grace. This is the time of year we give gifts, right? I mean, did everybody get a Christmas gift? Okay, is there anybody here who didn't get a Christmas gift? Yes? Okay, go to the canteen tomorrow. We're going to take care of that. But everybody gets gifts and stuff like this. Well, you know, God is into giving gifts too. But I just love this time of year. And this season is just so wonderful. And I'm sorry for you by all y'all sitting on this side. That projector up there, for some reason, refuses to work. And so that's, and also the lights are not turning down. It's okay. We're just going to run it anyway. So it's a little lighter in here, which is nicer because now I can see your faces. Normally when I'm speaking, they got the lights down and I have no idea what kind of expressions. You could be sticking your tongue out at me and I wouldn't know. But now I will know. But anyway, this is a picture of my living room. And I love this time of year. I will admit to you, I think Christmas is my favorite time of year. I don't know about y'all. But I absolutely love Christmas, and the whole Christmas season I love. I like Christmas better than I like the 4th of July. Do people agree with me on that? Yeah, 4th of July. I mean, that's cool. 4th of July is neat, but Christmas, I even like Christmas better than my birthday. Is there anybody else who agree with me on that? Yeah? You like it better than Labor Day? That's what they laughed last week when I said that, too. I don't understand the fun, you know, the humor in that. What about Memorial Day or Emancipation? We don't do Emancipation Day in this country. I'm trying to think of holidays. Valentine's Day. Yeah. Well, Christmas is a really cool time of year because, you decorate. Well, some people do. Obviously, some don't. But most people decorate your house, put up a Christmas tree, put lights up and ornaments and things like this. And scientific studies have shown that if you decorate your house, those who decorate their house, it actually helps lessen depression. I can even give you medical papers on this, that they have found that if you do this, it will actually lessen depression. So it's a good thing. Now, we are getting in such a depressed state anymore. Have you noticed that even in, like, Walmarts, Labor Day ends and the Christmas decorations come out? I mean, we start the season early. This year, this is really true. This year, as I was traveling, I saw right after Halloween, that's October 31st, I saw a house with a Christmas tree up. Halloween. I was like, you got to be kidding me. I'm just curious, how many of you have put your Christmas tree up before Thanksgiving? That's a little, okay, yep, there are people. Some people are very hesitant to hold their hand up high. A lot of people do it on Thanksgiving or the day after, maybe not Thanksgiving, but the day after Thanksgiving, we decorate. And then a lot of us don't take our trees down until really late. I know years ago, decades ago, they used to people would put their tree up just like on Christmas Eve, or just the day before Christmas Eve, they put their tree up 100 years ago and stuff, and then, as soon as Christmas was over, you took it down. For one, you put real candles, burning wax, and having flame on those. You don't want those hanging around your house for 6 months. But today, we have people who have their Christmas trees up until Valentine's Day. Does anybody do that? Uh-huh, yep, I'm seeing hands. There was a family here in the last camp, the first getaway, who said, when I asked, you know, how long does anybody keep one up? And one family says, we keep it up to Easter. So according to scientific paper, they should be very happy people. But really, it's the whole season of what we see here. And I think what it is, this whole, we call it the Christmas spirit, the Christmas season. And the thing is, there is something to this. And it does help us. It makes us happy. Walking in my house and seeing the Christmas decoration in the morning, getting up and going in and seeing this, or coming home from work, makes me happier than when the tree's not there. There is a lot of basis to that. It's true. There really is. Even the movie, or the book I should go into, Charles Dickens' book, Christmas Carol, or sometimes they call it Scrooge, but A Christmas Carol talks about this. Now, I don't know what you know about Dickens. Charles Dickens appears to have been, I don't know, I'm not God, but appears to have been a Christian. I mean, if you read many of his classic works, you will see New Testament parables and stories rewritten in a way that he did. Scrooge was like this. Talk about repentance. That's what this was about. And he even writes in this. If you remember the scene, like I have here shown, when Ebenezer Scrooge, remember the three spirits, the spirit of Christmas, of past, the one of present, and then the one of yet to come. And he's there at the end with the spirit of yet to come, and he's finding out that he's standing at this grave, and he's asking, you know, whose grave this is and stuff, after being shown how unrepentant, how evil and how mean he has been to people, he then changes and he has a repentance that goes deep into his heart. And here's what Dickens actually wrote. I'm going to quote the book on this. It says, what Scrooge is saying at this point, he says, I will honor Christmas in my heart and try to keep it all the year. I will live in the past, the present, and the future. The spirits of all three shall strive within me. I will not shut out the lessons that they teach. And how he ends that beautiful book, it says this: it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. If any man alive possessed the knowledge, may that be truly said of us and all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. Dickens wrote, now, if you've never thought about this, Dickens, many of his writings portray this, this redemptiveness of, and Christ is mentioned in the book even, and God is talked about in many of his works. So we do see this spirit of Christmas and stuff. Now, Christians, as some people pointed out in here, we should have the spirit of Christmas in us all year long. That is exactly right. We should be the most joyful people on the planet, Christians. Why? Because we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. So we should be, wow, it's like Christmas Day every day of the year. I know that would be cool if you get presents every day of the year, but it's not like that. I know, eyes lit up when I was saying that. Christmas every day of the year, I could go for that. But we should. We should have this Christmas spirit because the Spirit of God lives in us. So it should be like that with us. Now, the thing is, with Christmas, I think really part of Christmas is that people love. It's the whole thing about giving gifts and receiving gifts. Everybody likes to receive gifts. But I think as a kid, you really like it. But as you get older in particular, I think you start to realize a lot of us like to give gifts, sometimes even more than we receive them. It's really interesting, and there's just something about the Christmas spirit when you give some gifts to people. And I think that's the time of year we do this the most, and I think that's one reason it's like that. Now, the thing is, Christmas gifts. Everybody gets special Christmas gifts. I want to tell you about my best and favorite Christmas gift I ever got. I can still think back, the best Christmas gift I ever got. And I'm going to ask you guys this in a question, if you can think of some. This, going back into ancient history here, archaeologists were digging in ancient Illinois, and they came across this image on a wall. That is actually me. Yes, that is proof I did have hair at one point. Now, that is me, 1966. I'm in fourth grade. I got my Christmas gift that I had been wishing for 3 years, and that's it. It's called Tiger Joe. If you grew up in the Chicago area and you're my age, you might have remembered they had a commercial on TV. It was only on sale in certain grocery stores in the Chicagoland area. And this is a close-up of what the thing had. I had this till just 20 years ago. I had this toy, and it still worked. It's a motorized tank that it could climb over anything. I mean, I used to lay down on the floor or go out in the yard, and the thing would just go over the top of me. It's big. It's a huge thing. The cannon on it would shoot the shells about 36, 40 feet. I took the turret apart, put a different spring in, and put a stronger spring in, so I got mine shooting 60 feet. My mom wouldn't let me use it in the house because the rubber-tipped shells started making marks on the walls. I could only play with it outside then. I loved this toy. It was great. So, you want to have like a really special gift. Now, what was your favorite Christmas gift? Can anybody tell me the best Christmas gift you ever got? The best one. Anybody? Cuddly Duddly Dog. Oh my gosh. I know what that is. If you grew up in the Chicago era with Ray Rayner or Frazier Thomas, Garfield Goose Show, yes. Oh, my God. That was a big dog, too. Yes. Big stuffed dog. It was a puppet dog thing. Yeah. Oh, wow. I just had memory flash here. Anybody else? Favorite Christmas gift you ever had? I see a hand way back here in the back. What was it? Your Ninjago Lego set. I am so old, I don't even know what that is. But that sounds like fun. It's got the word Lego in there. I like that. Someone else. I saw another hand here.
I got a Susie Smart Dog.
A Susie Smart Dog.
She talked and walked.
She talked and walked? Did she go to the bathroom too? No. Another one? Oh, I remember that one. I remember her getting that. Her parents worked this out, that she went on our marine biology trip and worked it out as a Christmas present. They had a present, if I remember, it was a present under the tree. She unwrapped it, and it was the acceptance letter or something, right? Yeah, and so she went on our marine biology trip as a Christmas gift. There's a great idea for you guys. We are taking applications now. Well, yeah, Rob's like, what screen is that one? So, the thing is about gifts, you ever notice somebody always has to pay for a gift? I mean, it'd be really good if we just go in stores and just take them, but that's called stealing. We shouldn't do that. I mean, I used to do stuff like that before I became a Christian, but no, that's not what you're supposed to do. But everybody has to pay for a gift. No matter where you get your gift from, no matter who it's coming from, how it's getting to you or whatever, somebody has to pay for the gift. That's just the way it goes. So, I have a gift up here. It's a real gift. There's something, you can probably hear that. There's something in here. It's a real Christmas gift. It's not an empty box. And I'm going to give this to someone in here. And I'm going to pick somebody I've already picked out in my mind who I want to give it to. And I'm going to give this to somebody, and I'm going to call them up here to take it. The thing is, I'm going to ask all of you to watch very carefully how all of this transpires. There will be a quiz afterwards, and I'm not making that up. There will be. I'm a teacher. But I'm going to give this to the person. The thing is, the person who gets this, it's theirs for life. I'm not going to take it back. It is theirs. And it's nicely wrapped and stuff like this, but I'm going to offer it to someone. Now, if they don't want it, I'll pick somebody else. But I'm going to offer this. I'm going to have them come up here and take the gift, accept the gift, and then they're going to unwrap it up here, and you all get to see what they get. So, with that, would you like this? You want to come up and get this? Follow me. Now, watch carefully what's happening. I want you. What's your name? Asher, Asher, I want you to have this gift. Please open it.
Okay.
And just throw the paper on the ground. Okay, hold it up and let the people see what you got. Just hold it up and show them. It's a trouble game. Now, I'm not saying an indication here that he is this, but I want you to see that he got a real gift here, and it's yours. That's it. There you go. It is yours. Now, you're very welcome. You're very welcome. Now, let's take a look at what just happened. First of all, what did Asher have to do to get the gift? Nothing. Nothing. Yeah, come up to me, that was it. He just had to come to me. That was it. I called him, he came. Who paid for the gift? I paid for the gift. Mm-hmm. How did Asher get the gift? He what? I offered it, but how did he actually get it? Hmm? He just accepted it, right? I had my hands, it was sitting on top of my hands, if you noticed. When he took it, I didn't hold the edges, I was just holding it in my hands, and he accepted the gift. Okay? How was he called? This is an important one. How was he called? In other words, how did he get picked? I'm sorry? I picked him. I told you before, I'd already picked out somebody I was going to give a gift to, and I offered it to him. So, in a way, I just looked at Asher and was saying in my heart, I want to give you this. That's all there was to it. There's a word for that in theology. We call that grace. We call it grace. Now, did Asher have to do anything to earn it? Not a thing. Not a thing. Is it really his gift now? Yes, it is. It's his. Am I going to take it back? No way. That is his forever. That is his. So, with that, now let's review. What are we talking about? It's really simple. Did Asher earn it? No. He didn't earn it at all. Tonight, afterwards, I'm going to give you a free gift. Are you going to earn it? No. You're going to get it by grace. I'm offering you something through grace. You're just going to come up if you want. It's yours. He didn't earn it. Mm-mm. Did he or she, well, I'm sorry, or did Asher have to do something special to get it? No. I just called his name. Is Asher trying to buy it now somehow? Is he trying to give me something for it right now? No, he already has it. It's already his. He doesn't have to keep, oh, I should do this for you. I should do this for you. No, I should give you some money. No, it's already his. You see, God has a gift for all of us too, and we call it salvation. It's the same thing. How do you get it? He tells us in his word how we get this gift, the most precious gift we can possibly get, salvation. It's eternal. And he tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace, there's that word again, you have been saved through faith. Not of your own doing, it's a gift from God. You see what we're talking about here? It's salvation. This verse, for by grace, grace. You have been saved through faith. He had faith that there was something in there. He didn't see it, but he had faith there was something in there. He had faith in me that I wasn't pulling a trick on him. There's faith involved here. He believed in me that he was going to get this. So, through what do we get this? Do we get salvation? This grace through our faith, through believing, trusting. That's what it's coming down to. When I gave the gift to Asher, he believed that he was going to get it. He came up here in full knowledge and believed that he was going to get it. He believed that there was something in the box. He trusted me to keep my word that he would receive it. This is the same thing we do with salvation and God. It's the same exact thing. In short, he put his faith in me. For salvation, we put our faith in God to save us. You don't earn it. You don't try and do things after you get the salvation. It's yours. It's done. He didn't earn it. He didn't give me any money first. He didn't go to church first. I didn't have him eat certain foods or follow certain holidays first. I didn't make him even do a special favor for me first. I just, out of grace, picked him, and he accepted it. How easy does it get? People make salvation so difficult. I gave the gift. I mean, I could have done this presentation in another way, but I gave a gift because I wanted to give a gift. I wanted to do this. And so God does the same thing. He gives us this gift of salvation because he wants to. Why? Because he loves us that much. That's why he wants to do this. You getting to understand salvation? But the problem is, all gifts have to be paid for. You see, when God created us, he created all people to be in a close relationship with him forever. But God is very, very holy. Today we focus, it seems like in our society today, we want to focus on how much love God is. God is a God of love, which is absolutely true. I'm not denying that whatsoever. But theologians who generally cannot agree on the color of an orange, generally will agree that the best description of who God is he is a God of holiness. He is perfect. He is just. Being holy encompasses so many other attributes of God. One of the difficulties with us and God and him being holy, we are not holy. We have done things wrong. When I was a little boy, I was an exceptional thief. I used to break into people's houses. I used to steal things out of store. Thing is, I was very good at it. But that's what led me to salvation. I realized I was not in a good relationship with God. If we have done anything wrong, and I think if every single person in this room will admit it, be honest, we've all done something wrong, we cannot be with a holy God. God also says the price of doing just even one thing wrong, separating from me, is death. Well, there's our problem. We want the gift of salvation, but the thing is, we have to die to get it. Well, if we die to get it, well, then we can't live forever, and there's all these kind of problems like this. So the gift had to be paid for, and Jesus came to pay this gift. That's why we celebrate Christmas. It says in Romans 5:8, look what these words say. But God showed his love, there's that grace aspect, God showed his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. We don't do stuff. I was talking to a teen a couple of years ago who, after I got done talking to the youth group that I was speaking to in here, he came up to me and he says, he was not a Christian. He admitted it to me. He says, I really want to be a Christian. I said, well, what's the problem? What's holding you up? And he says, I do so many things wrong. I have so much filth in my life. I've got to fix that. And I go, what do you mean fix that? He says, okay, this is what my plan is. I'm going to go back home and I'm going to try and clean up my life so that then I can become a Christian. And I said to him, do you have a car? Because he was an older teen. He says, yeah. I said, you ever take your car to the car wash? Yeah. Do you wash your car first before you take it to the car wash? And he goes, no, that'd be ridiculous. I said, that's what you're trying to do with salvation. You don't do the cleaning. God does the cleaning. God puts his spirit inside of you. God is not saying clean up your life. God is saying come to me. I will clean up your life. You trust me. You believe in me. You put your faith. You walk with me. I'll change you. So many times we make it different. When Christ died on the cross, he took our cursing, our lying, our jealousy, cheating, hate, selfishness, and all the other stuff, and he took that to the cross. And he took it for all of us. I do believe that when Christ was on the cross, he knew every single one of you. He was God. Of course he did. He knew everything you did wrong. And he's like, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm going to go and do this so that that person can live with me. If we believe and trust in God, he offers us this gift of forgiveness and eternal life. And we're saved. You don't have to put money in the offering plate to get this. You don't have to attend church. You don't have to go on a missions trip to get saved. That's not what salvation is. Salvation is simply this, believing and trusting God that he's going to keep his promise to save you. You have a relationship with God. He puts a spirit in you, and that's what changes you, folks. That's how that happens. You don't earn it. You don't pay for it. God paid for it. Jesus bought the gift. God offers it to you for free. That's how you do it. That's salvation. So I'm going to pray here, and then I believe we're going to have some singing and praise time and stuff for that. And then after that is over, before you all leave tonight, I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to come back up here and let you have a free gift, another act of grace I'm going to give you. I just feel so gracious tonight. But I'm going to go to prayer right now, and I'm going to invite anybody who's never accepted this or maybe have never even understood salvation an opportunity at this time to pick up this gift. But let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we've had, and I just ask that you would just bless all of us in here. And Lord, I pray, my prayer is that every single person sitting in here right now knows you and trusts you as Lord and Savior, that they have the gift of salvation. But Lord, maybe someone here or someone, if they're listening on a recording of this, they don't understand it or have never done this. You make this so simple, usually just by praying a prayer. It's not special words. It's what takes place in our heart, but it's just what we're saying to you and what we are really, truly meaning, just to say, yes, God, I admit I'm not holy. I am not acceptable to you. Please forgive me of my sin. Please give me your spirit. Cleanse my heart. Lord, help me to walk with you. I put my trust and my faith in you from now on. And we know, Lord, that anybody who prays something like that and truly means it, you will save them. Just like I gave this gift when I offered it to him and he accepted it. I didn't hold off. You don't hold off either, and I thank you for that. What a wonderful Savior you are. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.